Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, May 16th, 2019. We have 20 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got east to northeast winds, 5 knots, backing to the southwest later in the day. And when you see that, the wind backing, it means that weather is moving through the area. Weather systems in the northern hemisphere spin in a counterclockwise way. So these low pressure systems that come across our area to bring us rain are spinning. And so as they move, you can sort of, if you visualize that, standing in a fixed spot while something spinning moves over you, you could see how the wind direction, which goes with the spin, could change as a weather system moves through. So the wind is going to back around, as it's called, going counterclockwise around the compass rose to the southwest with gusts up to 15 knots in the afternoon. So it's going to get a little bit windy on the beach and out on the water today. Wind waves from the northeast, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, shifting around to the southwest. So you see, those wind waves, as they're called, are caused by the wind. And so as the wind direction changes, the direction of those wind waves changes as well. So that is a separate phenomenon from the swells that we see arriving here. So there's always those two forces out there affecting what is happening on the water, on the surface of the water, that swells are usually coming from the west in some form, southwest, northwest, or just plain old west like today, when we have 4 foot swells at about 9 seconds apart and a secondary swell from the southwest of 3 feet high at about 16 seconds apart. So a lot of complicated forces out there acting on our coastal area. And the swells are coming from weather systems sometimes thousands of miles away. And there may be two different weather systems, one causing the west swells and the other causing the southwest swells that are coming from as far away as all the way across the Pacific. So weather is so fascinating. Weather does affect wind, and wind affects water. By blowing across the surface of the ocean, it actually, through friction, creates those wind waves. And energy transferred into the ocean from storms creates those long-term swells that travel all the way across the ocean. Let's take a look at our today we're going to be talking a little bit about a ship that you may have seen on the Columbia River. I know I paid a lot of attention to it because it was kind of unusual. It's called the Blue Marlin. She was named after the fish, the Blue Marlin, but the ship was actually bright, almost international orange color. And she was a heavy lift ship that came into the river to bring in a container crane into the Port of Portland a few years ago. And I remember sitting on the beach at Jones Beach out there toward Portland with my camera on a tripod waiting to take pictures of her because she was such an unusual vessel. Well, it's an interesting thing to think about where some of the ships go that we see on the Columbia all the time. This vessel, just this weekend, past weekend, was off the west coast of Africa handling delivery of some kind of big heavy equipment and was boarded by pirates and severely damaged. So just interesting to think about. That ship is now on the other side of the world and what happened to her. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our ships coming and going on the river today. We have 8 inbounders. We have 8 in the Astoria anchorages, including Rice Island and the waters off the downtown waterfront in Astoria, which are 2 separate designated anchorages, and 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The Pelican State is our first arrival today. She's arriving from Richmond, headed for the Vancouver anchorage off the Port of Vancouver upriver, but she's ultimately headed for the shipyard in Portland at Swan Island, and I think she might be a tanker. But I believe she's coming in for some kind of repairs and maintenance. So she'll pass Astoria around 9:30 this morning. She'll arrive in Vancouver by about 3:30 p.m., and she may be going into a dry dock to have some repairs and maintenance done. The New Legacy is arriving from China. She's headed for the Astoria anchorage. We'll ultimately head upriver to pick up wheat, but we'll see her there in the anchorage about 9:30 this morning. The Jervis Bay arrives from China, headed for Portland. I believe she's carrying some ingredients used in cement, and she will pass Astoria around 10 a.m. Maybe we'll see her in Portland by 6 p.m. The Challenge Pinnacle is arriving from San Francisco, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll pass Astoria around 10 a.m. and arrive in Vancouver around 4 p.m. So it takes about 6 hours to get from off the downtown waterfront in Astoria to, say, the port of Vancouver. And then if you start going up the Willamette River, as some of the ports are up there, you can add as much as another 2 hours to a ship's arrival at the dock because they have to slow down a lot when they get in, especially in a metropolitan area like that. And so it can just add a lot of time between a lot of time for docking and all that when a ship is going upriver. We have the Benfica is our next inbounder from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be there a little after noontime. The Nave Polaris is arriving from San Francisco, headed for the Astoria Anchorage, but she's ultimately headed for Klatskanai to pick up ethanol, or to, yes, to pick up ethanol. I think they pick it up there. She'll be leaving the Astoria Anchorage at about 6 p.m. today and heading up to Klatskanai, getting there at about 8:30. The Kita Kami is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver Anchorage. She's going to the Portland to pick up soda ash ultimately. She'll pass Astoria around 1 p.m. and arrive in the Vancouver Anchorage probably by about 7 p.m. The Global Saikai is arriving from Japan, headed for Longview to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria around 4:30 p.m., Longview around 8 p.m. In our Astoria anchorages, off the downtown waterfront in Astoria, the Ken I will head to Longview to pick up soda ash around 11 a.m. That'll put her in Longview by about 2:30 p.m. And the Global Ambition is at the port of Astoria loading logs. She'll be there for a while longer. And that leaves some vessels just waiting for their opportunity to head upriver. The Crimson Ace is at anchor off Astoria, the Agia Skeppy, which has been out there for now going on 2 weeks. So I wonder what's up with that, if there's some problem with the inspections or something on that ship. Usually ships are, well, ships have been there for as long as a month or so before they move on. But usually there's either a mechanical problem or something that has interrupted their ability to go upriver, like they failed an inspection of the cargo holds and they have to repaint them or something like that. But we'll see how long she stays in the anchorage. The Scarlet Island is also out there in the waters off Astoria. The Cavo Alcyon is upriver a little bit at the Rice Island Anchorage on the north side of the channel. And the BLC First is awaiting orders also in the Rice Island Anchorage. Outbounders, the Charisma GR is headed out of Portland with weed on board, leaving around 9:30 a.m., could pass Astoria 3:30, maybe between 3:30 and 5. The Louisiana Mama is leaving Kalama carrying wheat. She's leaving around 10:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound then about 3:30. The Anik is leaving Portland's shipyard at about 3:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30. And the Triton Swan is leaving Portland. I think she could have come in with ingredients for fertilizer, so maybe urea on board, leaving around 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. And if she doesn't have any outbound cargo on board that ship, she'll take on ballast water to balance, because ships need weight to make them stable at sea. So when vessels do not have any cargo on board, they will take on that ballast water. Well, the Blue Marlin, this ship is really quite something. She's a heavy lift ship, which means that she carries big, big, heavy pieces of equipment, usually from one place to another. When she came into the Columbia a few years ago, as I said earlier, she had a big, heavy pieces of a container crane for the Port of Portland. But she was, last Sunday, off the waters of Equatorial Guinea, off the coast of Africa. No, wait a minute. That's not right. She was off the west coast of Africa, and was boarded by pirates, and they were quite severe. They were quite heavily armed, and they damaged the ship so badly that it can no longer be used. But the crew barricaded themselves inside what's called a citadel in a ship, which is an area that is usually protects important equipment. It's armored, and the crew locked themselves in there and were able to escape injury. But basically, the Spanish Navy and other people came on board, and by then the pirates had left and rescued them. But piracy off the coast of Africa has become a very dangerous thing in recent years, and that's just an example of a ship that we know of that was on the other side of the world, so to speak, in some pretty serious trouble, but glad no one was injured. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.